Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the prophet Isaiah had a number of prophecies and visions concerning God's plan for the world, concerning what was to come. That's what Advent means in Latin, literally, to come. So today it's fitting, on the second Sunday of Advent, that we hear from the prophet Isaiah about what is to come. We see one of his Advent visions. And it goes like this. Jesse is a stump. That doesn't sound so good. Not so Advent-y. Christmas trees and Christmas wreaths are more festive for sure than stumps. But Jesse is a stump. Well, who is Jesse? Jesse is the father of David. David, the shepherd boy, the famous shepherd boy who whooped up on that Philistine giant Goliath and then became a great king, the King David of Israel. His father, Jesse, has become a stump, according to Isaiah. What does that mean, that Jesse's a stump? Well, if you were to read the history of Israel in the books of Kings and Chronicles, in the books of the prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah and other books, you will see what it means for Jesse to become a stump. David, Jesse's youngest son, the great king, the great hero of God's people, he was great for sure. And his son Solomon, he was the wisest and richest person to ever live. And he built a great palace and a great temple in Jerusalem. But Solomon, with all his wisdom and might, he turned away from God. And so did his son. And so did his son. And there were 14 generations from David until a really bad end. 14 generations. 15 if you count Jesse. And this family of kings ended up destroying God's kingdom with their sin. Oh, there were a couple of generations of sons that repented and turned towards God. But it ended badly. Babylon came and literally destroyed the city of David. That beautiful palace that Solomon built, that beautiful temple that Solomon built, burnt to the ground. And the family of Jesse altogether, as glorious as they once were, became a stump. For 500 years after this, people would wonder, would there ever be a son of David to rule again? From 500 years when the promise was first made that David would always have a son till Babylon, Jesse, it was now a stump. Cut to nothing, left for dead with no hope. But the good news, according to Isaiah, is that a branch will come from the stump of Jesse. And Isaiah gives hints as to what this branch will look like. First of all, the Spirit of the Lord will be at work where the branch sprouts. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, a spirit of knowledge, and a spirit of the fear of the Lord. And this last one's important. For you and I have seen many spirits, and there have always been many spirits in ages past that masquerade as spirits of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, and of knowledge. But it's tough to find the Spirit of the Lord that speaks of and leads in the spirit of the fear of the Lord. If you're going to be a great leader, it takes strength for sure, and wisdom and knowledge and might. But humility, to be humble, that's something that's hard to find in this day and age. To exhibit the Spirit, this Spirit, the fear of the Lord, well, that's tough to find. A second mark of this branch is that righteousness will rule through this branch. A righteousness will come, Isaiah says, that will take care of the widowed and orphan, the poor, the sick, in a perfect and magnificent way. And get this, wickedness will be killed. Wickedness will be killed, will be done away with. And even more than that, if it can't get better than that, creation will be made new. New in a different way than you and I could ever imagine. Leopards lying with lambs. Lions eating straw with ox. toddlers playing with cobras and viperous adders? Sounds like an amazing picture that this branch coming from the stump of Jesse will provide. And there's one last thing. Isaiah says, all nations will stream flow to the branch, even from Egypt to Assyria. And if you are living in the time of Isaiah, those are big words. Because you know the history of Israel with Egypt. They were in slavery to Egypt for over 400 years. And during the lifetime of Isaiah, Assyria, under the rule of Sennacherib, will come to the northern part of Israel and wipe it out and be very ruthless to the people of Israel. So much so that they'll be pretty much wiped off the map. All nations will stream, though, to this branch, even Assyria and Egypt. Now, this is all great news. But where do you find this branch? Where is the branch to be found? Well, Matthew, in our gospel lesson, gives more than hints. He confirms to us where the branch is to be found. He records the life and the words of John the Baptist, who points the way to the branch. He is coming after me, John says, after me, someone who I am not even worthy to carry his sandals. And then we see John in the Jordan River baptizing the branch. And if that's not enough, the heavens open and God, the Father of all, declares from heaven, this is the branch. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the final icing on the cake, if you will. Isaiah said the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. The Spirit of the Lord literally is upon him, descending, Matthew records, like a dove and resting upon him in the waters of baptism. And so we see that Jesus of Nazareth, he is the branch from the stump of Jesse. He fulfills the Advent prophecy of Isaiah. Is the Spirit of the Lord upon him? It certainly is. We just confessed he is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and we just read he is bathed and baptized by the Holy Spirit. If you flip the page and read the next chapter of Matthew, you will see he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to do what Israel couldn't or wouldn't do. Obey the Heavenly Father in the fear of the Lord, even fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the face of Satan incarnate, being tempted. Jesus is perfect. He obeys perfectly in the fear of the Lord. Does he exhibit wisdom and knowledge? He certainly does. He exceeds Solomon so much that at the age of 12, he is lecturing the priests and the Pharisees in the temple in Jerusalem, and they're amazed. And when he grows up, he is so wise that crowds of people gather around and follow him, listening to his sermons and his parables, going hungry for days to listen to his words in amazement, wondering, who is this? Who speaks with such wisdom? This Jesus definitely has might. Might that has never been displayed before. Not even Alexander the Great could command the storms and even demons to be silenced. And back to the fear of the Lord. Who was more humble than Jesus of Nazareth? Who, with all his wisdom and knowledge and might, would walk homeless among the lowliest of society? And why would Jesus do this? Being the very Son of God, being the very God in the flesh, why would he do this? To show what ruling in righteousness really looks like. He not only goes hungry, he feeds the hungry. He calls the sinners and the tax collectors to a new life. And they return the money that they stole. He forgives the prostitutes and the adulteresses and shows them what it looks like to live as a beloved daughter of the kingdom of God, not having to earn any of it, just given to them, not as enslaved pieces of property. The wicked do seek to kill him. It does not go well for them. King Herod sends an army trying to kill him when he's just a baby, and King Herod is then struck dead by the hand of God. But more than this, Satan, the father of evil, is crushed. First in the desert when he tries to tempt Jesus to three times, Jesus simply speaks his word and he conquers Satan. Then in finality at the cross, when Jesus is being punished for not his sins, but the sins of the world, this Son of David, the Son of God, speaks words of a true king. The true king that speaks in the fear of the Lord. Father, forgive them. It is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Creation made new, though. I don't see any wolves lying with the lambs or the calves and the lions eating straw together. But the storms are silenced. He does walk on the water. And most importantly, the dead are raised. Creation obeys him. Even death obeys him. And there is still more to come. There will be wolves lying with the lambs, an ox with the lions. And I hate snakes, but one day I won't. And in the meantime, till he comes again and makes all creation new, nations are streaming to him in our day. People lament that the church is not growing anymore in America or the Western world. I would beg to differ. We just don't see it. The fastest demographic growing in our church is the millennial generation, the generation that everybody says doesn't want to come to church. And if you look out in the rest of the world, look at East Africa, China, and Iran, the church is growing faster than ever in those places where communism, Islam, and ancient tribal religions that have so long held people in the grip of fear have done so. Not the fear of the Lord, not the fear of the Lord of mercy and grace, but these things, these entities have held people in the grip of fear of sin, death, and the devil. In the fear of war and tyranny. And they are losing their grip fast. As the Spirit of the Lord is at work mightily. Through the message of Jesus, proclaiming Jesus for all nations. In might and knowledge and in humility. Proclaiming that Jesus is righteous in his rule. Has victory over sin, death, and the devil and all evil. And that creation will be made new again. So if you come here this morning feeling a little like a stump, that's okay. If you're feeling hopeless or dead like a stump because of the circumstances in your life or the circumstances out in the world, you came to the right place. This Advent, we get to see what Isaiah saw. We get to hear what Isaiah prophesied. This Advent, we see that God has been at work all along through the stump of Jesse. A branch has certainly come forth. He brings life and hope to the lifeless and hopeless stumps of our lives. And we know who he is, Jesus. So fix your eyes not on the stumps, but on the branch, Jesus. In your Advent will be a season worth the wait. In Jesus' name, amen.